You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we are continuing or beginning a new series of Shirim. And this series of Shirim is going to be titled The Tree of Life, the Torah of the Tree of Life, the Torah of the Eitz HaChaim. And while this series of Shirim is going to be different than previous series, where each Shir is going to be a standalone reality that doesn't need the previous Shirim to support it, or it's not dependent on other ideas, but rather it stands upon itself, and each Shir can be listened to as its own thing. But the introduction to the series of Shirim is going to animate and create the ground through which we're going to really address the Torah of the Eitz HaChaim. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to try and introduce what it means to experience the Eitz HaChaim, but we're going to do it in a way that we've always been doing in the series of Shirim, which is in the Derech, in the Mahalach of the Torah, of the Yam HaChachma Shlita, of the Rebbe, of Yitzhak Meir Morgenstern Shlita, that sees the entire totality of the Torah as saying one singular thing, as kol ha-Torah kulahu inyan achas. All of the Torah, all of the riboy pratim, all of the various details through all of the various integrated levels of the Torah are all ultimately coming to reveal a singular point. Now, this is already brought down in the Yerushalmi, and the Ragachav Gaon Sfusi Ogan Aleinu utilized this lahalacha, but the entirety of the Torah is coming to illuminate one particular thing. And as the Sid Yesharim of Ishbitz points out in his Bir on the Zohar, Teferes HaChinoichi, that each and every person has their own particular innermost point of their heart, which the Torah is going to come to be a commentary on. Meaning to say that each and every person has one singular thing that the Torah is saying to them. Now, obviously, each and every person has a relationship to the full gamut of the Torah, the totality of the Torah, and the singular pointedness of our relationship with the Torah, of the Nekuda HaPnimis, of my oath, of my letter in the Torah, that doesn't detract from the responsibility, the necessity, the capacity, the wonder of applying that particular point into every possible iteration of the Torah. But nevertheless, each and every person has their own most particular point, the Nekuda of Pnimis HaLev of the Torah, which is Kol HaTorah Kuluhu Inyan Achas, and that is that the entirety of the Torah is coming to teach that particular point. And in the Rebbe's writings, as I understand it, the Nekuda Achas that the Torah rests upon is a Nekuda that's Kolul Meitrein. It's also Nisgala as plus. It's a singular Nekuda that contains two within it, and that two-ness reveals itself as three, as the Sabbath Mishpatim explains. And the three-partness that leads us to the singular point of the center of the Torah is that there are three stages through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, reveals himself, and will reveal himself. And these three stages are obviously the three compartments that make up the Shem Havaya, the Haya, that which was, the Hoiva, that which is, and Yihya, that which will be. That these three interconnected levels, which are really only two, which are really only expressive of a singular unity, which is the Nekuda HaPanimus of the Torah HaKadosha, is the process that is given over to us through the Yichide HaDoros, through the Tzadikim Yichide HaDoros, in the Torah Sanigla of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah Sanister of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in the fuller expression of Torah Sanister from Rabbeinu HaArizal, to the deeper expression of Pnimiyas HaTorah through Rabbeinu HaBal Shem Tov, and then to the fifth Yachid HaDoros, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the Nachman Levei Makor Chachma, that contains within it all of the Torah of the other tzaddikim as well, the Grother, Amchal, the Rashash, all of the tzaddikim. But all of these tzaddikim have been coming to teach a singular Nekuda, which is that there are three stages to everything. There is the beginning prior to disintegration, the beginning in its general wholeness. Then there's the descent from that wholeness and light of the beginning into the apparent opposition towards that light and wholeness, constriction, darkness, gevura. And then ultimately, those two oppositional moments of originally being perfect, descending down into imperfection, make way for the third process, which is bringing imperfection back into the original level of perfection, thereby revealing an even higher level of perfection that existed prior to the descent into imperfection. That first, there's the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light, or Ein Sof, which, as we've spoken about fundamentally over and over, is not identifiable with the essence of God, Kavyachol. Nothing is identifiable with the essence of God other than the essence of God, Kavyachol. Everything else is an expression, or Ein Sof is the first expression that impossibly, through the Seder Hashtalshalos and the Hapshatas HaDvarim, which the Rebbe is Masbir and all of the Tzaddikim are Masbir, we come to be aware of the Raza Demeyam Nusa, of how the Or Ein Sof is Mekusher to the Baal HaRatzon, and how even the highest level of finite expression, which appears to be most infinite, even though it's not identifiable with the essence of the infinite, nevertheless, it's inherently connected to the infinite. Elav B'derech Midosav, Elav Mamish, we reach directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol, even though we know we can never fully reach there, but we reach it through coming through the Tzimtzum in the Torah and the mitzvos. That's Derech Midosav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends down from Or Ein Sof, which is already a Giloy, but that was the perfect light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything was saturated with goodness. There was no room for distinction or distortion. And then comes along the Tzimtzum and the creation of the worlds. And that is the place of the Tzimtzum, that is the place of concealment, that is the place of the unfolding of levels, the opposite of a general unity that destroys any possibility of particularization. It's the proliferation of parts, it's the riboy hapratim, the exponential growth of things and ideas and chaos and distinction and simsumim, everything that is not some other thing is also a simsum. Mamela, after the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go down into that opposition towards it, the apparent darkness, the apparent limitation. And then the third stage is going to be when we take all of that limitation and we encounter each and every drop of that limitation, like the Leshem Shabbat V'Chaloma says, Ad HaPrat HaYoter Mefurot Sheyochel Aparit, which is based on the teachings of the Rashash, down to the lowest possible particularization that can possibly be particularized. When we refine that lowest place, when we're Mavire, those lowest places of concealment, we then bring concealment back up to the original light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol, as he revealed himself prior to the creation of the world. But now we're armed with a further development of our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because before the descent down, all we had was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite expression of the first level. But then through the second level, which is the disintegration and the Shvira and the Tzimtzum and the separating and the falling into all matters of concealment, we lose sight of that original principle. And we assume it to be limited. We assume this place that we find ourselves in, we assume the second stage, the Emsa, to be no longer connected to the beginning. But then when the yichud of the sof comes along and we go back up to the beginning and we realize, oh my gosh, I held on to the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the opposite of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I held on to the secret of the one within the experience of the two. And I bring all of the concealment back and it's the full culmination of things. But it's not simply a return back to the way things were. Because otherwise the whole system would be worthless. It's not simply to go from infinitude down to separation back up to infinitude, but rather we go down from a level of measured infinitude, Kavyachol. There was already a limitation. All that could be revealed there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light. And there's a degradation into the concealment, which is the apparent opposite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. And then the ultimate purpose of all of it is to take all of that concealment and bring it back up into and beyond the original expression of infinite light to a new higher level of infinitude, Kavyachol, because there's always higher levels of infinitude, because Kedushas Ilamala Mikdusha Seichem, that Hashem's infinitude is always higher than ours. And we come to realize that there's always room to grow in our understanding of infinitude, because now I realize how much more expansive it is. I have just taken all of the concealment and all the opposition and all the hepech and all of the dargin and all of the gvul and all of the limitation, and I have revealed that it too is part and parcel of the yichud, which reveals an even higher level of the yichud, which is referred to as the Tosefes Kishut, which is the adornment of perfection. Because originally there was original static perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light. Then there was the descent down into the imperfection, the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then that imperfection ascends upwards to reveal that the perfection that preceded the imperfection is even more powerful because it contains imperfection within itself as well. And that's the secret of making perfection even more perfect. The Tosefes Kishut, what the Arizal describes as Hamshachas Neshamos Chadashos, new vitality into the world, the Chiddush. overcoming a boundary in my life. That's the tachlis of it all. We start with the first stage of boundless light. We descend down into bounded and boundary-oriented experience to then come back to reveal that the boundaries themselves are boundless as well, and that all of the gvul, all of the separation is ultimately there just to reveal a furthering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. And these three stages are what compose our understanding of the Shem Havayah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential name, because the essence of the essential name, Kavyachol, is nothing other than itself and the fact that it abides and it exists perpetually, Hove Tamid. It is the source of being, and it is the expression of being, and it is the dependent roots of being. It is all of those things in a changeless form. But because human beings only operate in the triparate breakdown of temporality, which is past, present, and future, so I need to orient myself towards that nameless thing, towards that utterless name, that nameless name, which is the Shem Havaya without actual letters, because the letters themselves empty themselves out when you get to the core of it to realize that they're not really letters, but they're still letters. So the way we understand the Shem Havaya is Haya Hoyve V'yiye. He was Kavyachol, he is, and he will be. Past, present, future. The past is the original light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it existed prior to the disintegration down below into concealment. That's Haya, that which was. Hoyve is that which is right now in the space of concealment, in the 6,000 millennia of existence, in the Shishak Tzavos, in the brokenness, in the brokenheartedness, all of the concealment. That's Hove. That's where a person has to learn how to center themselves completely. Otherwise, they lose it. Otherwise, a person can't survive. And then Yihye is that which will be after we return back to the beginning. After we return back to the beginning, that which will be, and in the future, it's going to be revealed that Hashem before creation and Hashem during creation is ultimately part and parcel of the same thing. But as we've spoken about in the past, and as the Rebbe Shlita makes so clear, the Arizal, in the beginning of Eitz Chaim Kaddish, in the beginning of the Torah of the Eitz Chaim, which is developed specifically once we're kicked out of Gan Eden, after partaking of the Eitz Hadas, as we're going to see, to try and return back to the Eitz Chaim, the Arizal gives us a beginning point of insight. And the Arizal says the name of Hashem, Havaya, represents this three-stage process of Mashahaya Koidem Habriya, that which was before creation, Mashahove Bizman Habriya, that which exists during creation, Umashiyiya Acher Shenesapech LaMashahaya, and that which will be after things revert back to the way that they were. And what the Rebbe points out is that we have to try and understand the purposefulness of all of this, because the ultimate fundamental belief is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the purpose of all purposes, which is why the mitzvah of Tcheles is such a fundamental one to the burgeoning redemption, because it highlights the fact that there's always another Tachlis. The Tcheles is Doime Liyam, and the Yam is Doime L'Rikia, and the Rikia is Doime to the Kisei HaKavod, and the Kisei HaKavod is Doime to our orientation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tachlis is to realize that every Tachlis that we think we've reached is only imaginative in relationship to the next Tachlis, because in relationship to the next tachlis, what we thought was the tachlis was just a handmaid into tachlis. Because as Rabbi Nachman says, there's a tachlis, and there's a tachlis to the tachlis, and there's a tachlis to the tachlis to the tachlis, which a person can uncover at any moment. And so the tachlis has to be first and foremost in front of our eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a tachlis. Vayechulu Hashemayim. Shabbos is the tachlis, which means that there's a tachlis to things. And if the entire process of existence is to descend down from an original state of perfection, down into a state of imperfection, to only return back to the original state of perfection that it existed at beforehand, then that seems to be useless. That seems to be beloy te'alta, without a toelis, without a tachlis. And something that doesn't have a tachlis can't be in existence, because something that is true and mechuyav hametzias is that the beginning, the middle, and the end are all representative of the ultimate tachlis. And memela, something without a tachlis, something without the tuf that ends things and draws things and traces things down below in a real way, then there's no real metzias to it. Something that's without a tachlis is levatala, and something that's levatala is sheker, and something that's sheker only exists by way of the imaginative faculty that makes something real out of sheker, but ultimately it doesn't exist. Only things with tachlis exist. And memela, there has to be a tachlis. What's the tachlis if it just returns back to the original perfection that it existed at beforehand? So Zakter Rebbe, if we look and pay attention to the words of the Arizal, we see as follows: that which was, that which is, and that which will be when things revert back to the way that they were. The reversion back to the way that they were is not simply returning back to the original perfection that existed prior to disintegration, but rather it is now graduating from that original level of perfection, which denied the possibility of imperfection, to coexist with it, and now armed with the new radical emuna, the Raza Deme Emnusa, the impossible secret of Trein Hafacha Menoisa Echad, the revelation that no, perfection and imperfection section can operate in unison because both of them are representative and revelatory of a higher level of perfection, which profoundly exceeds the mind's capacity to grasp, especially freeing us from being stuck in that terror of two opposites that unify together. Because what philosophy sees as its biggest enemy, which is the law of the excluded middle, that two oppositional postulates can't exist at once, Panemius HaTorah takes and it places at the center of the crown, because that's the beginning of the orientation to Das. And we come to know that perfection and imperfection can operate in unison, which reveals a higher level of perfection. It's not just a return back to the beginning. It's a return back and through the beginning, back to an origin prior to the beginning, back to a place that didn't exist and couldn't exist without the descent downwards and the coming into being and the process and the shedding of all of those levels with the refinement and the new insight that we get. And so we see that the beginning is the first stage, and then there's a descent away from that first stage, which appears to be an opposite. And then the encounter of the first stage and its opposite reveals the third stage, which is a return back to something that never existed, even at the first stage. This is the Tachlis of Bria. This is the Nekuda HaKlalis of the Torah, that these three stages, Haya, Hoy, Vehiyeh. And we see this in the history of the Jewish people, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, before Shemos, before descent into Mitzrayim, and after Mitzrayim, all of the three stages, all of the processes that we go through, Chachma, Bina, Das, there's an expression of something that is unlimited, then it undergoes a process of diminution and concealment and Gvul, and then ultimately the synthesis, which is not really synthesis, is a failed word to describe it because it doesn't get rid of both-sidedness of it all, but the two sides give birth to something unified even greater than itself, which is the Nekud of Das. But Chachma Bina Das, everything represents this three-stage process of the beginning, the middle, and the end, which is a reversion back to the beginning and even higher than the beginning. Now, in the Eitz Chaim Kadisha, what the Arizal reveals to us, what the Arizal was zeichet to understand specifically on the banks of the Nile River, is that this shape of being, this shape of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's expression, Kabyachol, the Haya, the Hoyev, and the Yihye, the perfection, the imperfection, and the ascent of imperfection back up to perfection to reveal an even higher level of perfection that makes room for the possibility of imperfection, which can now be seen through a lens of perfection itself, that expresses itself in the ontological architectonics of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu created existence. After a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Tzimtzum, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Tzimtzum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol allowed for the worlds to take shape around the infinite ray of light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu re-entered into the Chalal. That Hashem created a void, right? There was the original saturation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, then there was a void, and then there was the re-entrance of a measured form of light, which is a paradox in the deepest part of itself, and revealed that within the void, there's also light. And within that void and around that ray of light, around that Kav, is where the worlds emerge. Now, in the Arizal, the five levels of worlds that we've discussed so often are Adam Kadmon, the world of Atzilus, and the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Now, the world of Adam Kadmon, that world which is so refined and so beyond any possibility of Hagshama, God forbid, or making it into some metaphysics of materiality as if it's something real. These things are metaphors that are fundamentally real. The metaphor itself is the secret of the metaphor. The language of the Arizal is what we have. The language of Rashbi is what we have. The language of Moshe is what we have, as the Leshem Shebo Loma is Masbir when it comes to the writings of the Arizal. Adam Kadmon is such a darga that the fact that we talk about it and the way that we talk about it is only through the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, which made these ideas accessible, as we're going to see. But only by dint of the Baal Shem Tov can we even utter these words. There were tzaddikim who wouldn't say the word Olam Adam Kadmon. They would only refer to it as Ak because of how mezuchach it was there. The world of Adam Kadmon is oriented towards that which existed prior to creation of the world. That place of the Machsheva Achas, what the Maggid of Mezrich referred to as the Machsheva Achas, the place of Or HaGanuz, where a person is Raya Mesoifa Olam at Soifa Olam, and it's Kairidaris Mirosh, and it's Hakol Beskira Achas, it's Kalim, which are not really Kalim, and that place of Adam Kadmon, where the Panemius perpetually remains refined and untouched, and even the externality of the Oros that come out of the Chalakim of Adam Kadmon, which are the Oros of Achap, of the Oznayim, of the Chaitim, and the Pekav Yachol, even those Oros themselves are the origination point of what we understand as the highest levels of our graspability and our accessibility in the world of Atzilus. Adam Kadmon represents prior to creation. Atzilus represents the most refined form of creation. The world of Atzilus is creation has already taken place. there's separation, there's apparent separation. But in this place of apparent separation, there's unity. That's the Raz Adamei Amnu. So the world of Atzilus, which is the highest world that typically we have access to, is ultimately the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed fundamentally, even within what appears to be a separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a world of refinement. It's a world of Talmud Torah. It's a world of Chachma. It's a world of precision. It's a world of no deviation from anything, because there's nothing but the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world of Atzilus. That's where we take Moichin from. And then there's the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya are separation. They're concealment. They're grouped together because ultimately they represent what happens after the fall, what happens after the traumatic cataclysm or the deliberate trauma of Shviras HaKelim, and all of the Oros and the Nitzotzos and the Kelim fell down, and the residual lights of the world of Atzilus become the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, these three stages of concealment, the worlds of separation, where the infinitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer revealed in a graspable way. Avada, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we've said, always is found everywhere. But in terms of graspability, what we're allowed to reveal, what we're allowed to say, what we're allowed to live in accordance to, there is a deep separation between the world of Atzilus, which is refined, and even the vessels are refined to the degree that Ihu v'gamayhu v'chiihu chad bahon, that he and his vessels, kavyachol, he and his expressions are unified there, that the kelim, the spheros, and the atzmus kavyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light are unified. Yes, there's separation, but it's a separation that is still unified. There's no usable difference in the world of Atzilus. And then there's a separation. There's the pargo, there's the mesach, there's the barrier that separates the world of Atzilus and the worlds of separation, which are Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, which represent the polar opposite. So I was mistaken when I started talking about Adam Kadmon being the beginning of the three-pronged process. Now, let's look at these three stages of worlds through the lens of what we just discussed, with regards to the beginning, the descent away from the beginning, and the ascent out of the secondary stage of concealment, and the ascent back upwards to reveal even more. We're going to see that, as we've said so many times, this is the most fundamental way of framing our experience on a day-to-day basis. We experience this possibility at every moment in our lives. This is just the background behind the medicine. And so The infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu prior to the creation of the world, like we said, it wasn't the full expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light. Nothing is the full expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light. And with that deep awareness, the secret of Yichud, which is that we're never talking about the essential essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyachol, the only way we relate to that is Mechuyav HaMetzius, and we don't even have a Hasaga B'derech Shlila there. We can't even grasp it by way of negation. There's nothing. There's absolutely no graspability whatsoever. We have no idea. We have no ability to speak beyond the limitations of what we're capable of speaking. And in that place, we have nothing to talk about. The beginning that we understand, the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu prior to the creation of the world, is what can be considered Olam HaAtzilus Kavyachol. That it was a place of refinement, a place of infinitude. There was no separation, there was no distortion, there was no distinction. Everything was rarefied and clarified. In the world of Atzilus, even the Kalim themselves are clear that they're an expression of the infinite, meaning to say that there is no questionability of whether there is something negative or something apart from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yigaru chara, there's no negativity in the world of Atzilus. No negativity whatsoever. There's achorayim, there's all of the forms of relationship, there's all of the back and the forth and the transitions and the gvuros and their purity and the sources of the gvuros, but over there's no negativity. That's the infinite light prior to creation, where everything existed very clearly, very pleasantly, wonderfully, without deviation. And then what happens is there's a shvira, there's a tzimtzum, and we descend from the world of Atzilus into the worlds of separation. Now, the worlds of separation, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, they are not pre-existing worlds that then, once we've made a mistake, we find ourselves in, but rather they are worlds that are composed of the very mistakes that we find ourselves in. That the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya are created by way of the traumatic excess that descends away from the Olam HaAtzilus, meaning the world is in and of itself the grappling with the perceptual awareness that we have on the three parts of ourselves: the Bria, which is the contemplative element of the self, the Yetzira, which is the emotional element of the self, and the Asiya, which is the physical element of the self. In all three of those tripart parts which create the self, which is the Tselem and the Dmus. So in that place, we grapple with struggle. We grapple with concealment. We grapple with impurity. We grapple with the reality of negativity. We grapple with hiddenness, we grapple with loss, we grapple with the fears and the day-to-day human experience of what it means to be a human being. In the world of Atzilus, we are loy adam, we are not a person. We operate in a place of pure consciousness. We operate in a place of emuna berura without any of the needs to descend down into the doubtful nature of what it means to be a human being when we're vulnerable with ourselves. In that place, a person can live in the Torah. They can live in the osios haTorah. They can live with never deviating, never losing sight of the goal, and always perpetually operating in that place of refinement and never allowing myself to even contemplate the possibility of falling or struggling, because to fall or to struggle is in polar opposition to that level of perfection, to that level of experience. That Atzilus sees the worlds of separation, it sees the pegamim and the mumim and all of the struggles and all of the falls and all of the actual human experience as absolute opposition to what its standards are. And therefore, there is no interrelationship really between the world of Atzilus and the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The worlds of separation are worlds where the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be revealed in any revealed way. Yes, it is hidden at even the depths of every aspect of existence, as all of the tzaddikim will be moida in their writings themselves. Yes, we know the emuna of a child, which continues to understand that everything is part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything exists within the surrounding light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but within the map of order and structure that enables us to reach upwards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to draw down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to ourselves in some thematizable, intelligible way. So in accordance with the rules and the regulations and the halachos of what Pnimiyas HaTorah is telling us, in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, it is apparently absent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our job is to go back up to Atzilus and draw Atzilus mindset down into Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And so at best, what I can do in this world is remember how I felt when I was in a world of Atzilus, to remember my best self even when I'm struggling. But the struggle from the perception of Atzilus is just a deviation away from what needs to be done. And it's an unfortunate symptom of being human. And the goal would be to only live in the world of Atzilus, to only live in that place prior to existence. And we see this in the order of the worlds, when the worlds are mislabish upon one another, in the three-dimensional reality that the Arizal gives us Rishus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Rishus through the Yechidei HaDoros, to develop some imagal perception, these virtual images in the mind which are real and not real at the same time, like we said, never to allow them to become metaphysical objects, God forbid, but to continue to engage with them and to speak away their Hagshama, to perpetually be talking about how they're not anything real, but at the same point utilizing them as the real tools that they are, which can only be accessed properly when we come to properly understand that they're not real, but they're real at the same time. They're mishalim amitim. They're mishalim amitim, as the Leshem says. It's like Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Rabbi Nachman and the Rebbe and the Balatanya use a lashon of mamish kavyachol. It's mamish kavyachol. It's a kavyachol because these things are inaccessible to the human mind in any thematizable way because they exist far beyond any comprehension. But at the very same point, the letters themselves and the words themselves represent the ideas and the principles that we experience. And so in the images and the worlds and the seder of Hislabshus HaOlamos, the interlaying of worlds upon worlds and the center point of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which rests at the center of all things, we see that the world of Atzilus and the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya never interact really with one another. They do not engarb one another. There's no mutual relationship wherein the worlds of separation can rest upon the world of Atzilus and reveal the world of Atzilus. Rather, the only way of relationship in accordance with the structure of the worlds, in that world of Atzilus and the worlds of separation, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, is spooky action at a distance, that we can be mamshich moich and we can draw down residual lights of consciousness of the neshama from the world of Atzilus to add on to the nefesh and the ruach that is always preexistent. And through mitzvos and through certain zmanim in the year, there's a bakia, there's a breaking of the sea, and the light of Atzilus drips into the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, and then we can go back up to to Atzilus. The goal is to always go back up to Atzilus, because that's the ideal. And Atzilus cannot be found in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And therefore, from a perspective of Atzilus, the only avodas Hashem is to, if I find myself down here, to go back upwards, to run back up to Atzilus, to cultivate the meichin of Atzilus, to become a Merkava for Zer Anpin and Malchus of Atzilus. Because in orientation to the what these worlds represent, there's no unity between them. Atzilus is refinement, it's pure, it's good, it's clarified, it doesn't struggle. There's rightness there, there's no questionability, there's no doubt, and there's no struggle, and there's no deviation, there's no prevention, there's no human experience. And when it looks at the worlds of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya, it says, I cannot tolerate such a reality. I cannot tolerate that place of outside of Gan Eden. I cannot tolerate that place. I cannot tolerate that place of concealment and simsim, where it appears that HaKadosh Baruch is not found, that place of translation, that place of the loss of language, that place of struggle, that place of fighting against Yeyush, that place of not knowing, that place of not knowing that I don't know, that place of not knowing anything whatsoever. Atzilus looks at it and says, I can't go there. So Bri Yetzirah Nasiya always says, I have to go upwards. I have to go back up to Atzilus, which is the Tachlis for now. And so what we see so far, that corresponding to the first stage of things, the original perfection prior to imperfection, is the world of Atzilus. Things stand as they are, and they're revealed in the way that they're revealed. And then we enter into the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, of my contemplative, emotional, and body orientation to reality itself, the three stages of conscious awareness, as Rav Dessler points out, that a person kind of cultivates within their worlds, perspectives, perspectival shifts in how I am in the world, my mode of being, my mode of dwelling in reality. And that represents the secondary stage, the concealment stage, where there's no clarification, where there's no presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol. But then what happens is we come to the third stage. And if the first stage was the Atzilus, which was the infinitude of it all, and the second stage was the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, which is the disintegration of it all, so then the final stage is going to be returning back up and revealing even more, and that is the world of Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon is higher than the world of Atzilus. Adam Kadmon is refined in all of the matters that Atzilus is refined, and even more so. That there's no negativity there, bechlau. There's no reality of separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree that it's identifiable with the loftiest levels of our comprehension, even though we fundamentally know that it's still completely diminished in perspective to that which rests above it. As the Ari points out, based on the Zohar, that Adam Kadmon itself is referred to as Adam Debriya, meaning to say that even the beginning, like we said already, is never the full beginning. But Adam Kadmon is refined in all matters of refinement. It's purified. The only difference is that it's so purified that it can even express itself in the worlds of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya. That Gam Choshech Lo Yashkech Mimcha. It's not afraid of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya. It's not afraid of the apparent separation from godliness. It's not afraid of the Tzimtzum, because it's the Das that understands that the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are both indicative and expressive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential light that can never be fully grasped in the mind or in the heart. That ultimately Adam Kadmon represents the level that holds both the unity of Atzilus and the disunity of the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, and it reveals how both are fundamentally expressive of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found above and is found below. And this hasaga of the world of Adam Kadmon comes out only by the preparation that we do in the secondary stage of being in the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. And instead of fighting against it and assuming that there's absolutely no way to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place, to cultivate the mindset through tshuka and the desire towards the knowledge that in the future it will be revealed that specifically down here, betachtonim mamish, in oilam ha'asiya itself is going to be the fullest expression of the legs kavyachol of Adam Kadmon. And on that level of Adam Kadmon, there's no distinction between revelation and concealment. There's no distinction between Torah and Tefillah. There's no distinction between the Emunah and the loss of Emunah, of Das and non-Das, of having it together and not having it together. In the world of Adam Kadmon, everything, even the things that are in opposition to it, are contained within the unity of itself. And Haraya, like we said in the Hislabshus HaOlamos Kavyachol, we said that the world of Atzilus can never enter into the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, because from that perspective, the only goal is to ascend from the world of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya back into the world of Atzilus, to ascend back from that perceptual disintegration of my mind, my heart, and my experience down here in concealment. And I have to let go of all of that and push that aside and repress it and suppress it and ascend back up to Atzilus to be my best self. But from the perspective of the world of Adam Kadmon, Kavyachol, it's mislabesh not only into the world of Atzilus, but it's mislabesh into the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya as well. That the world of Adam Kadmon can tolerate the concealment of the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, because in the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, we reveal that they too are expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, it reveals by way of concealment, it's present there by way of concealment, it's a Das Tachton for the purpose of ultimately coming to cultivate the recognition that even Das Tachton is part of the Das Elyon. And it's not yet revealed in this way, but nevertheless, there's a hitznoitzitz of it, and a person can taste from the Eitz HaChayim even prior to its revelation, because as the tzaddikim point out, everything that stands to be revealed in the future can already be tasted in the present itself, in the secret of Olamecha Tirah B'Chayecha. And in spite of the fact that the worlds of Bri, Yetzir, and Asiya have still fundamentally not been revealed to be part and parcel of the worlds of Adam Kadmon, and we still operate in this place in accordance with the concealment factor, where we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden from us, and we assume that we're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we assume that there's any absence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever, by dint of the fact that we know that in the future Adam Kadmon Kavyachal is going to fully reveal itself down here, we come to retroactively be aware of the fact that in the future this place is also going to be revealed to be the site of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of the prerequisite understandings of what it means to identify the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the lower realms. That's the secret of the Dir B'Tachtoinim. And for that, a person has to learn Chassidus over and over and over, the Ma'amarim of the Rebbe Rashab, the Ma'amarim of the Seventh Rebbe, the Ma'amarim of the Alter Rebbe, and the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Maharash, and the Rebbe Rashab, and the Rebbe Rayatz, and the Rebbe, and Rebbe Shemaiah Morgenstern Shlita. A person has to learn all of these birurim to properly understand the relationship of what it means that there will be a yichud lamata in the dir b'tachtoinim. And avada, there will always be a separation. Avada, there will always be concealment. But there will be a revelation, la'asid, that everything, even the concealment, is part and parcel of the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then that reveals a higher level of concealment, a he'elem ha'atzmi, a fundamental recognition that I can never know. But if I know that in the future it's going to be revealed that down here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found as well, then by the hitznoitzitzitz, by the sparking of that insight within my mind right now, even preceding its full revelation, I can live as if I'm touching that place with the proper recognition that that place has not yet arrived. And in tasting that place, I'm mamish in that place, and I come to look around at myself and around at the world, and I begin to see it in a very different way. As the Maggid of Mizrich says, and Rav Yitzchak Isaac Hamler brings it down in his Maimer Matzos Vekosos, in his Maimer Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Adam Kadmon is also here, that Atzilus is also here. It's not here. It's also here, though, because Bepnimius, what we see that stands ready to be revealed at the future is that Adam Kadmon can be mislabish itself in the world of Atzilus, which is clarity, as well as in the world of concealment as well. And to reveal that gam concealment, gam kielach begat some of us, even the worlds of separation and human consciousness will be revealed to have been part and parcel of the fundamental process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're getting ut to the hakdamas that we need for this shir on the Eitz HaChaim. One more place that we see this triparate breakdown, which we said again, kol haTorah kula inyan achas, it's this inyan, and this inyan splits into what appears to be two that gives birth to three. And right now we're talking about the threeness of it. So we have the Shem Havaya, Haya, Hoiva, Vihiya, before creation, during creation, and after things revert back to after creation, as they were before creation. We explained that it's not just a return back to the original perfection before the descent into imperfection, but it's return back up through imperfection, which was a descent down from the original perfection, back up into a perfection that was never revealed before, because now that perfection is revealed to be even more perfect than we could have ever imagined, because it contains imperfection within it as well. And then we explained that that three-step process is also the Seder of the worlds of the Olamos in the Torah of the Arizal, which is based on the Zohar HaKadosh, in particular the Idraba, the Idrizuta, and the Tzafer Ditznusa, which ultimately represent this process as well. But one more mushel that we're going to see is the Moichin. The Moichin, how a person functions, how a person experiences reality. And this is where we're going to see that we're going to shift from the Arizal to the Baal Shem Tov, Bezras Hashem. And the Arizal is a hamshacha towards the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov is a continuity of the Arizal, and to separate between the two of them is a fundamental issue that blocks re-entry from the Eitz HaChaim, and the proper tools to do that is the Torah of the Rashash and the Torah Chacham, as revealed in the writings and the teachings of the tzaddikim in our generation. That another place that we encounter this triparate breakdown is the Moichin, the ways of consciousness, the way that we function in reality. The mind is said to be composed of three compartments, three elements, just like everything is split into three, of a right, a left, and a middle, of a beginning, a descent away from the beginning, and a return back to before the beginning. So too, the Moichin, as well as the Midos, as well as the Maisim, are going to be split up into a three-part category. That's all things. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Chesed, Gvur, Teferes, right, left, and center, inner, outer, and upper, etc., etc. Chachma is oriented with the world of Atzilus. Chachma is purified wisdom. Chachma is the emergence of an idea prior to any constriction of that idea or prior to any need to really limit that idea in accordance with reality testing. Chachma is the baraka mavrik. It's the explosive nekuda of thought, which emerges almost like a yesh me'ayin. It's a nekuda of ayin. It emerges out of nothing. It's the burst of enthusiasm. It's an idea in its visualized form, which can't yet grasp the particular applications of it. It doesn't grasp things on a depth level, but it certainly can grasp the width and the length of it. Not the length so much, but the width of it, most certainly. And Chachma sees things as they are. It's a koyach ma, nevertheless. It doesn't fully understand what it understands because it's more a burst of an intuition that gives birth into a form of knowledge, a burst of knowledge. That's the right brain. And then we descend down from Chachma into Bina. Bina is the separation. Bina miklal de ta'a, as Chazal say. If you're using the language of Bina, the implication is that you've already made a mistake, because Bina is the point where we descend away from Chachma, which is the world of Atzilus, and we descend down into the worlds of separation, human consciousness, which are Bria, Yisira, and Asiya, which is oriented towards Bina. In that place of Bina, Bina dinin misabrimine, it's the severity of the mind that is forced to make compartments and to sever previously whole ideas and to break them down into their composite parts so that it can process information properly. This gives birth to the capacity of Havana Sadavar Mitoch Davar, of proper understanding. It's all the side of imagination, which can take a person away from the original beginning, or a form of imagination, I should say, not the limited sense, but there's imagination in Chachma also, but the imagination in Bina, which is Havana Sadavar Mitoch Davar, can take me further and further away from the original kernel of thought, which remains true, which is the secret of Chachma. So here in Bina, there's a severity that descends. There's a riboy. There's an expression of many, many thoughts, and it's a circularity of thought. It's the gvuros, chasadim, the world of Atzilus are chasadim, that's chachma, that's purified like water, and then the bina, the eish of the mind, is the severity and the breaking things up, and the enumeration of things. That's the place of bina. But what happens is we descend from chachma, we descend away from that original beginning of Or Ein Sof, Koidem HaTzimtzum. And we descend down into the Tzimtzum, which is Bina, as the Arizal points out in Mava Sha'arim, based on the Pasuk, Min Mada B'Sha'ol Mayim, that Mi, the secret of Bina, is the Sharish HaGevuros, which is the origination of Tzimtzum Kavyachol, as we'll see in the Torah of Mahari Sarug. And then, after the Tzimtzum, we come back to the next place, which is Keser. So we go from Chachma down into Bina, and then from Bina we can go back up into Keser, because Keser is the place of Aniva Ayin Vasachas. It's the Ayin of Chachma, the nothingness of Chachma, and the selfhood of Bina. It's the nothingness of the world of Atzilus and the worlds of differentiation of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. It contains both of them, and it reveals how every part of the separation of the worlds of Bina and all of the peripheration of thought and separation of thought and severity of thought is all there to create more and more desire towards the pleasure of thought. That once we go down from Chachma into the separation of Bina, what a person now has the access to do is bring all of those pratim back up to a klal. It's klal pratu klal. The original klal is Chachma. Then there's the prat, which is Bina, the severity and the separation. And then from that prat, we come back to a klal gadol, which is the secret of Keser, which is koil of both the klal and the prat. It holds everything together at once. Just as the world of Adam Kadmon does, so does the mindset of Keser bimavrich from the beginning towards the end, from the end up towards the beginning. And so we see the Haya Hoiviviya, perfection, descent into imperfection, and the ascent back up to a hidden form of perfection that contains imperfection within it, is similar to the descent from the world of Atzilus into the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, back up into the world of Adam Kadmon, to reveal how Atzilus and Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya are also fundamentally expressive of the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity, as well as in the human experience, in the human mind, which is Chachma, into Bina, to reveal Keser, that I go from my wholeheartedness around this world and a simplicity and a chachma, I look at the world rather, I look at the world thinking I know something, then I fall into Bina, I come to realize I don't know anything, and then I ascend back up into Keser, which is the secret of Tamimus, which is the recognition that even though I can try and know everything, I don't know anything at all. All three of those parts are expressive of that Nekuda HaKlalis, which is the Nekuda HaEmsai of the Torah, to reveal the beginning, the descent away from the beginning, and the ascent upwards from the descent away from the beginning back to a place even prior to the beginning. A person will see this in the Torah of the Arizal, a person will see this in the Torah of the Gra, a person will see this in the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, a person will see this in the Torah of the Ramchal, in the Torah of the Rashash, in the Torah of all of the Tzadikim. This Nekuda HaKlalis, this three-stage process of descent away into concealment for the sake of revealing that concealment is also part and parcel of unity, revealing that the job down here is to not just get back to where we were prior to the beginning, as if we were thrown down here for no reason but just punished, but rather to cultivate the process of being down here, transforming this world into a place where we can reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. This is the secret of Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Lodira B'tachtoinim, as the Baal HaTanya makes famous in Perek Lamed Vav, which is a Hitznoisus of Keser in the Tanya, which is the secret that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal himself down here in the most hidden form of concealment imaginable, at which point the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still available in its potency, kavyachol, the lowest point imaginable, the Choshech HaKafulu Mechupo, the doubled darkness that is doubled over itself, the Hastara Shebetoich Hastara, the world that finds itself in the belly of the Nachash, the Ribui Pratim, the Gvuros, the difficulty, all of those things are because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal himself specifically in the place that appears to be most distant from him. And as the Rebbe Rashab says, the purpose of that is so that we can then go upwards and reveal something even higher than the Soiviv Kol Amlin that existed prior to the creation of the world. Originally, there was Soiviv Kol Amlin. Hashem surrounded all worlds, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the Yichud Ilah of Olam HaAtzilus. That's the place of prior to the Tzimtzum, of that which existed prior to all of the concealment, that place of Chachma. Then we descend down into the world of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus L'Olam Voed, into that place of concealment, into the Yichud Tata, into the Tzike Kedera, into that pungent odor that emerges when a person specifically is forced to uncover HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the rigid parts of life, in the scarier parts of life. And then we go down from the Soiviv Kol Amlin into a Mamala Kol Amlin to then come to reveal that even the Soiviv Kol Amlin can be found in the Mamala Kol Amlin. That Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is found already within Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus L'Olam Voed, as the Ari points out, that the Dalet HaRabasi, the big Dalet of Echad, contains the Malchus that is going to go down into the worlds of separation in the secret of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus L'Olam Voed. That there's a unity between the Soiviv Kol Amlin and the Mamala Kol Amlin, between the Yichud Ilah and the Yichud Tata, and all of that is to go back upwards and reveal something even higher, which is the secret of Leis Aser Panimine, that in truth there's no place devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Hezgalus of Etzem, of Panim B'Panim Kavyachol. And so there's always this three-part process of the descent away from the general principle, down into the opposition of that general principle, and not to run away from that, but to refine it, to process it, so that we can then come back upwards and see that even the deviation was part and parcel of the process. Now we can go back down a little bit more to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explained at a certain point that Mebesari Echaze, that a person is going to be forced in this world to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu from their flesh. In Chassidus, as well as in the Ari, as well as in the Zohar, the Sefer of Iov becomes a focal point at which so many secrets of Torah are revealed. Because in the secret of Iov, which is Lo Hayov Lo Nivra, which is the same reality of all of the things that we grapple with, is it real, is it not real, it's real and not real at the very same time. And that secret of Iov, the upper self and the lower self, the part of Iov that never was and the part of Iov that is, and the balancing act between the story of Iov that exists, between the gap that exists between them. So the book of Iov becomes a place of profound secrets that are revealed, because it's specifically when a person realizes two things. Number one, I can't understand anything. I don't understand anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two is everything is part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Everything is part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And number three is the secret that Rabbi Nachman uncovers from the Sefer of Iov, which is that Achin Ruach Hu Be'enosh V'Nishmat Shaddai Tavinim. So too it turns out there's a spirit of God in man, and that it's God who gives man understanding. As the Meforshim point out, and as Rabbi Nachman uses this pasuk to prove over and over, this secret is that human experience down below is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That L'cha Amar Libi B'kshu Panai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my heart itself is telling me to search you out. And when I can come to terms with my heart is coming from you, Hashem, that you're the heart of Klal Yisrael, Hashem, that down here in the world of Bina, down here in the world of Mebesari Echaza, down here in the world of the body itself, which is the world of Bri Yitzir and Asiya, it's specifically here that a person comes to understand that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispering to us at every moment. And when a person understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is whispering to them at every moment, and Kol Ha'olam Eino Oimer Ela Darsheni, that the entire world is screaming out Darsheni, and Ein Oilam Ela Lashon Ha'alama, that the world is the language of concealment, meaning to say that concealment seeks out our understanding. Tahoyim el Tahoyim Koira, called Sinerecha. The abyss calls out to the abyss. The abysmal depths of Briya Yetzirah Nasiya are calling out to the depths of Adam Kadmon, trying to reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here in the worlds of concealment as well. And that's the Sefer of Iyov. Iyov is in the world of Bina. Iyov is the world of the heart, is trying to understand the experiences of the heart. Moshe Rabbeinu is the secret of Chachma. Iyov, which was, according to Meforshim and Soita, written by Moshe Rabbeinu, is the Bina, is the descent down into the Briya Yetzirah and Asiya of Moshe, until we can come upwards from Moshe down through Iyov back up to Mashiach Tzidkenu, which is the Ani Aroichev al Chamor, which is that neshama coming back fully to itself, Kavyachol. And in Iyov, what the Baal Shem Tov identifies as the fundamental point at which the Torah of Chassidus was going to be revealed is the pasuk in Iyov, Mebesari Echaz Eloikai, that it's from my flesh itself that I shall come to behold God. And as Ishbitz and Radzin explains, it's not simply the body orientation to it, even though that's fundamentally true, and that becomes clearer and clearer as we get closer and closer to Geula Shlema, which is the Giloy of the Zichach HaGuf, which is the secret of Tchias HaMesim, that the Guf itself is higher than the Neshama, and the Tachlis is to be Megala the Neshama down here in the Guf, because Dafka through the Guf, we could be Megala the Ein Aruch Lecha, the secret of that which is fully beyond our comprehension, and the secret of the Olam of Adam Kadmon. And as Lubavitch and Chassidus teaches that ultimately the body is the teacher. The body is the teacher. We see Stiros, that the body on the one hand is lower, on the other hand we see that the body is the teacher, Elema. The body is the best teacher that a person has. But even on the emotional level, and even on the Mebesari Echaza, as Ishbitz and Radzin point out, Mebesari means from a human condition, from my shame, from my struggle, from my emotional aptitude, from my struggles in this world of day-to-day experience. Not only struggles, but simply the abiding in this world, the being in the world, the dwelling, the phenomenon of being in the world. That's the world of Mebesari Echelze. And the Baal Shem Tov took that and he used it as the crowning jewel of his system, that now we're going to reveal that we can find you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically from the lower place. The Arizal described how it could be that there could be such a thing as the lower place, how there could be an apparent world of Briya Yetzirah Nasiya. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about it. In Torah's Moshe, we see it. Sila Azazel, we see the reality of the apparent separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hinted to, the nature of a Malik. But we don't have a full expression and development of the idea. In the Zohar HaKadosh, in the world of Rashbi, negativity, the void, these kochos of the Laila, they take on even more shape, Kavyachol. There's fear, there's chitzainim, there's the need for Torah to fight, to do a battle. Again, revelation of a lower place, of the reality of a lower place. Even though Rashbi and his Chavari are mamtik everything through their chavivusa, through the love, through the understanding of the deep cords of love that exist at the heart of all machloikas and the heart of all things, Rashbi begins to give more of a voice to that place, to the Sitra Achra Kavyachol, to the fact that there's something that appears to be another side. The Arizal comes along to teach us how it works. This is how the worlds of Briya Yetzirah and Asiya operate. This is how the worlds of Briya Yetzirah and Asiya can coexist with the light of the world of Atzilus through the light of Keser. The Baal Shem Tov comes along even further to show us how we experience this in our own lives, that we are in that place and it's our job to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here. And then comes Rabbi Nachman to teach us fundamentally how there's no place devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. The Baal Shem Tov came along to scream that there's no place devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever. But the Rabbi Nachman came along to describe that that applies to the places in the self as well. That applies to the places in the self as well. Avada, from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, we know that there's no part of reality that is devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the Ma'amarim of Chabad Chassidus, a person comes to understand this in a million different ways, and there's a billion other infinite ways that it can be described, and each one is a fundamentally real existence. Every Maimer from the Nisiyei Chabad is a real entry point into a way that the shape of the world exists through the mind of that tzaddik, and it's an access point for a person to be Masik HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to draw it back down into this world. But still, even after all is said and done, on a certain level, after all of the teachings of Chabad, a person can come and say to themselves, but perhaps there's a place inside of me. Perhaps there's a place inside of me, because Chabad will say ultimately that there is no me. There is no me, and yes, the me exists in its invisibility, but trach gut v'zayin gut. All you have to do is think good and it's going to be good, because the self is not the ikker. But what happens when the self resists, and what happens when the self remains, and what happens when the self can't be misboinein in the world of Bina, but it falls into the emotional world and the physical world of Yetzirah and Asiya, the further points of the worlds of concealment? Then a person can come to find that, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists everywhere except for me, I'm the halal, I'm the void. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in this void, libi chalo bakirbi. What about over here? Where can I find Hashem here? And Rabbi Nachman comes along to show that there's no place devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the self. Even in Yeyush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came along to teach this by way of human experience in the body in this world, to teach us how to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the worlds of Briya Yetzira and Asiyah. Not to, God forbid, identify the worlds of Briya Yetzira and Asiyah with the worlds of Atzilus. The Baal Shem Tov understood the secrets of Yichud better than anybody. And there's no deviation, there's no mistakes. Nafsh Chaim and all of those tzaddikim came along to refine, to refine, to refine, to push along the product so that it could fundamentally be refined in the same way that the Torah is always revealed through the trained Mashiach and the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David and the klalius of all of them, the tzaddikim who come to reveal that they're part and parcel of the same secret, which was Eliyahu Anavi, who comes to be Mevaser the Geula, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who comes with the trained Mashiach. But there's a unity at the heart of the Torah and the Groh and the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Torah of the Groh is pushing along the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov to ensure that it comes to the place that it needs to come to and that it doesn't move away from that place. But the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov was to orient oneself to the basar, not necessarily to the neshama, but to mi bisari echaza. And as the Baal HaSulam says, that the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov came along and they saw Klal Yisrael dying. They saw a drowning person. And the Arizal says, let me pick this person up by their head. Let me pick them up by their machshavos. Let me pick them up by the hisboinus and the inyanim. And then there was a little bit of a salvation, but then the person fell back down even deeper. Those teachings could be misused. And comes along the Baal Shem Tov, and now he sees someone drowning with more urgency, and he picks them up by their heart. He picks them up from their basar. He picks them up from the emotional, vulnerable experience of the human phenomenological posture in this world. What does it mean to be a human being? What does it mean to live in this world? And that's the Torah that we're going to try to discuss in the Torah of the Eitz Chaim. The moods, the actions, the contemplation points, the Briya Yetzira Nasiyah of our experiences, what these various shapes and hues of our experience can illuminate for us through the lens of our tzaddikim. Walking has its own dynamic. Walking has its own reality. Walking has its own razin and razin derazin and pshat, remez, drush, and sod. Breathing, coughing, sighing, crying, feelings, fear, anger, resentment, traveling, loneliness, wistfulness, homesickness, joy, expectation, despondency, excitement, dwelling, a home, a chair, a desk, a lamp, light, darkness, trees, grass, road, pavement, dirt, esh, ruach, mayim, afar, doimim, sameach, chai, medaber, money, capital, all of these different things, writing, reading, hearing, listening, sighing, each and every one of these human experiences, these things that only operate in the world of Briya Yetzira and Atziyah, eating, tasting, chewing, these things have their own Torah. And cultivated through all of the writings of the tzaddikim, especially the Yechidei HaDoros, there's different sugyos. They can be found in Torah Shebichsav, in Torah Shebaal Peh. They're sugyos that extend from the beginning of Sefer Bereishis down to the end of Shas, into the depths of Pnimiyas HaTorah. That human experience is a mushel waiting to be illuminated with the Torah that already exists there. The Torah that finds itself down here in the world of Briya Yetzira and Asiyah. What it means to abide, what it means to not be sitting with the Sefer. What happens when I find myself in those places? And the particular moods and postures of self that exist in our generation in more particular acuity. Fear, anxiety, etc. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try and learn through the sugyos of what it means to abide, of the phenomenological way that we experience what it means to be a human being in the world of concealment. The Torah of the self, kavyachol. To reveal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down here with us in our day-to-day experiences. To reveal that really we know the secret that there's no part of experience that's devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And memela, for the time that we find ourselves outside of a book, for the time that we find ourselves outside of living in the world of Atzilus, it's our job to refine it and not to be afraid of being in a world of separation, but to dig down deep to reveal the unity that rests on the level of wisdom in the world of separation. That while we cannot reveal it in our bodies, that we cannot reveal it in any technical way yet, because that comes once Mashiach is revealed, and the secret of the Torah HaKadosh and the mitzvos, which are mamshich la'asad lavo ad b'li dai, as the Rebbe's Masbir over and over in the Haskamos that he wrote on Svarim B'Lavi Mishkan Evne, in particular, the Bir on Rechov HaSanar. But we're going to see how to illuminate the moods and the colors and the hues of human experience. And we're calling it the Torah of Eitz Chaim ultimately because the Torah HaChaim is the transformation of the entire experience of a human being to become part and parcel of the Torah. Rav Yerucham Levavitz of Mir, Zchus Yogan Aleinu, was one of the tzaddikim who spoke most potently and powerfully about this. He said that the entire purpose of the Torah is to come to the secret of Atzmi, of Atzmo, the self. The Bali Musar understood this, and especially the Bali Musar who tasted the light of the Ramchal, and who tasted the light of Pnimiyas HaTorah, and Rav Dessler, who tasted the light of the Or HaOros, and the Chazonish, and all of these Tzaddikim, through the lens of Musar, they were capable of revealing the depths of the framework and the shape of the human mind and the various moods, and the importance of those moods. Ultimately, through the lens of Musar, the refinement of the mood and the refinement of the heart is ultimately for the purpose of going back up into a world of Atzilus. But Taras HaChassidus is about refining the world of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya enough to reveal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzilus is also here. You're also here. You're also here, and I'm here with you no matter what I'm doing in this moment. Whether I'm Oisik in Tshuva, or I'm Oisik in Tikkunim, whatever I'm doing, I'm Oisik with you. I'm with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Shuk, at home, in every part, in every particular of my experience, in every mood that I find myself in, you're there. And that Leis Asar Panimine, and that there's no place devoid of you, the Rabbanu Shalom. And Alufa Shal Oilam is Nimsa everywhere, and Mamela is Pardu Koplay Oven. And that's the Eitz HaChayim, that's transforming life itself into Torah. That there's the Torah of the Osios as they're arranged, which is the Torah of Chachma, which is the Torah HaKaduma, which is the Torah that we have to study, which is the Torah that we learn Lishma, which is the Tachlis HaBriya, which is where all of the Oiris come from. And then there's the Torah of the worlds of Briya, Tzira, and Asiya, which is the Derech Eretz Shekadma LaTorah, as Rabbi Nachman describes in Torah Ayin Ches and Lukut HaMaran Chelek Beis, the Derech towards Eretz Yisrael, the human experience, the jumping and the clapping and the falling and the silliness and the joy and the processing and the hurting and the feeling and the pleasure, all of it. All of it. Whether it's in Midos, whether it's in Moichin, whether it's in activity, each body part represents its own reality. And all of the tzaddikim spoke to this. Each emotion represents its own reality. And the job is not to get rid of those things to find the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists underneath them. The job is to refine those things to reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists within them. And so to reveal the Torah of the Eitz HaChayim is a new type of Torah, not a new Torah Chas V'Shalom. It's a Torah Stima'a. It's a Torah of Atika Stima'a. The Torah of Atika Stima'a, the Torah of the future that will be revealed within the Torah of the present. There's never a change from even one iota of the Torah of the present, but rather the light of Atika Stima'a is going to be Neskala within the Torah of the present to reveal how every part and parcel of our understanding is diminished in the face of what we don't understand yet. That right now it's a Torah of Hevel, and in the future, the Torah is going to be like Kayin. It's going to be a Torah of experience. It's going to be a Torah of Atika Stima'a, which is the Gilui, as Rabbi Nachman says, of learning the Sugya of Shor Shanaga Chasapar, which is a Darga of Chachma, and experience the process of Shor Shanaga Chasapar, which is the process of Bina, and to live the unity of both, which is the Gilui of Torah of Atika Stima'a, because Atika Stima'a is Adam Kadmon, is Keser. Mamela, the Torah of Chachma is the Torah of Atzilus, which is the refinement of Torah where everything is clarified and I'm learning the Musagim and I'm in Lamdis and I'm being Mahapech, my mind to a Chefz of Torah. The Torah of Bri Yitzir Nasiya is the Torah of the Shulk, is the Torah of processing my human experience, is the Torah of Badchanus, is the Torah of refining every element of Das Tachton and creating it to be a Mizbeach for Das Elyon. That's the Torah of Bria. That's the Torah that we encounter in our lived experiences at every single moment. A person is living out their own Osin Torah, the Torah of the Etzem of the Self, the Torah that Rav Yerucham was able to say that Ha'adam Atzmo Hu HaPerish Hachi Tov LaTorah, that a person themselves is the best translation, the best interpretation to the Torah itself. And then to come back from that place to the Torah of Keser, to the Torah of Atika Stima'a, which is the revelation that Bein Kach Hu Bein Kach Nekorbanim, that the Torah is everywhere, and Torah is Hashem Tamima, and the Torah has not even begun to be understood yet on one level or another. And so to reveal the Torah of Eitz Chaim, but the Chaim that's found specifically in the worlds of separation, in the 6 days of the week, and to reveal how the 6 day of the week experience of all of our moods and tendencies and activities and modalities and postures and ideas and actions, how they're all sugyos meleos of Torah. There's sugyos meleos of Torah that a person can be mispoinin on the action that they're doing, whether it's writing with their hand or walking with their feet, and uncover the secrets of my separatius internally to the experience and reflected externally in the experience itself, where a person comes to find that if I'm here, hakol here, everything is here, manikan hakol kan. If I'm here in the worlds of Bri Yitzir and Asiya, then the whole world is here. Then the whole world is here. Ilule Hayoma, says the Gemara, Ilule Hayoma, if it was not for Matan Torah, which is the giving of the Torah of Atzilus, of Chachma, Kama Yosef Hayika Beshuka, how many Yosefs would be found in the Shuk? Because there's the Giloy of the Torah, and without that Torah, we have no ability to go down. But specifically because that Torah of Atzilus is revealed, we now have the ability to go down into ourselves and uncover the sugyos of Torah of Atzilus that remain within our Briyah Yetzirah and Atziah experiences to reveal how everything is part and parcel of the unfolding process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. Within the moods themselves, within the human condition, the vicissitudes of self. To give a general framework, which will obviously only be ketipa min hayam of what the sugyos of these moods and these orientations or these activities are going to be. And we can understand why, in spite of the fact that this is sent down into the world of Briyah Yetzirah and Asiyah, into separation, for the sake of revealing a unity that is greater than that which existed prior to the descent away into unity in the mind, is referred to as a Torah of Eitz Chaim, because theoretically it should be referred to as a Torah of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. That we know that the Eitz Chaim theoretically is the secret of Olam Atzilus, where everything is refined. V'chai la'olam, there's no distinction, there's no distortion, there's no nothing. Everything is refined. Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra is a descent away from Eitz Chaim into the world of Pirud, into the 6 days of the week, into the six sides of the coins, into the six right or wrongs in reality, the six-sidedness of all things, the stuckness in all things. And that's the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And then theoretically, my job is to return back to Gan Eden to reveal the Eitz Chaim. So theoretically, the Eitz Chaim exists in the world of Atzilus, and then I descend down, as the Ari describes, and I partake in the worlds of Briyah Yetzirah and Asiyah, and I fall away into the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, and my job is to enter back into Gan Eden. But that's not the Metzias, and the Leshem is Masbir this Bo'emek Nifla, that is the Sherish HaSherashim of all things, and the Ishbetzer Tzadikim and the Balei Tosfos also bring it down. Is that in truth, the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz Chaim are part and parcel of the same thing. That Eitz Hadas b'toy chagan and Eitz Chaim b'toy chagan. Zok tzadikim, how could there be two things at the center? Elama, they're two part and parcel of the same exact expression. That the chitzonius of it is the Eitz Hadas and the interiority of it is the Eitz Chaim. As the Ishbitzer points out, as the Ramam Ipano points out, that in the future there's going to be a tziruf of the pasuk to be read, v'mikol Eitz Hagan toychal v'Eitz Hadas toiv. That you should eat of all of the trees of the Gan and the Eitz Hadas, the goodness of the Eitz Hadas, and the negativity you should not partake of. You should gain the ideas, but not the actions from that place. And so there's an element that in the future, the Eitz Hadas itself is going to be revealed to be part and parcel of the Eitz Chaim. The descent away from the original Eitz Chaim is the descent away from the world of Atzilus into the worlds of Briyah Yetzirah and Asiyah, and it's the transition from the Eitz Chaim Shebesei Chagan into the Eitz Hadas Shebesei Chagan, which is part and parcel of the same thing. Because ultimately the worlds of separation are only the extensions of the trauma of Olam Ha'atzilus Kavyachol, and therefore all of the post-traumatic effects Kavyachol, as Leshem is Masbirit, are still maintained and retained within the original traumatic event itself, and they're still lodged there, and by refining the event itself, a person can be mamtik all of the particular iterations of the symptoms, which is a secret of Bia, which is not really something separate as the Rosh Hashanah's Masbir based on the Arizal about what's going to happen in the future, that all of the worlds of separation will be revealed to just be the throne of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala, the Torah of Adam Kadmon, but it could not have been revealed without the worlds of separation. And at that point, Bia itself, Briyah Yetzirah and Asiyah itself are transformed to be part and parcel of the world of Atzilus, which is really the revelation of the world of Adam Kadmon. So too with regards to the Eitz Chaim and the Eitz Hadas. Yes, there's the original Eitz Chaim, but then there's the descent away from the Eitz Chaim b'pnim yuso into the externalization of it in the secret of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And our job is to descend down into the Torah of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, Torah Shebaal Peh, the walking, the talking, the agadata, the being of it, the abiding. A person can look at the entire Shas itself also, aside from the halachic reality that exists within it, in the lives of the Tanayim, of understanding what it meant to be a Tana, the Shemus HaTzadik, and what it meant to be a human being in a time of Choshech, Zu Talmud Bavli, and to learn how to live like Chazal, to learn how to refine the self, and to learn how to eat, and to learn how to walk, and to learn how to talk, and to learn how to laugh, and all of those things. And then when we can refine the Torah of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, we're Megalazayin on the Torah of the Eitz HaChaim that rests within it, and then it's Chayim Ad Olam, and then we've transformed our lives from the worlds of Briyah Yetzirah and Asiyah into a world of Atzilus's Da, to reveal that the world of Atzilus is down here as well, because all that there's ever been is the extended light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Oile Ad Elyonim and Yoreid Ad Tachtoinim, from above to below, Mavrich and Al Ketzah, El Ketzah, and the secret of Adam Kadmon. And this is the process of Adam Rishon being kicked out of Gan Eden, as the Eimek HaMelech points out, and the Rebbe makes utilization of that. First and foremost, we were kicked out of Gan Eden, we were kicked out of Atzilus, we were kicked away from the Eitz HaChaim, we were kicked away from the clarity of mind, we were kicked away from self-conscious, from some bittul, and we entered into a world of self-consciousness. We were kicked into Kadmas Gan Eden, into a place of Misa, into the place of Mebasari Echaza, into that place of Busha, into the place of the human condition. And the air there is polluted. We can't breathe in this air. But our job is not to ignore that air and return back to Gan Eden. Our job is to be mezachich that air of Eretz Ha'amim, to breathe deeply from the air of Eretz Yisrael, to breathe deeply from the light of Atzilus that's meskala within the worlds of separation, to be megala, the light of unity that exceeds both of them, to reveal how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found within the Tzimtzum as well, and to reveal how the light of the Torah can be found in each and every one of our experiences, down to the lowest common denominator of what it means to be a human being, each person in accordance to their own heart, each person in accordance to their own understanding, each person in accordance to their own experience in this world, through the phenomenological lens of their conditioning and their orientation and their experience. Each and every person is the Nekuda HaPanimus of the Torah, and all three expressions of this process are reflective of the singular point that we're going to try and discuss in this shirim. And this is the Nekuda HaPanimus of the entirety of the Torah, in my humble opinion, that in truth, it appears to be three, that there's a prior to the beginning, and then a descent away into concealment, and then an ascent upwards back into a place even higher than the beginning. That's where it appears to be three stages. That's the Haya, Hoiva, and Yihya. And then we come to the place of realizing that in truth, there's only two. There's only the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the apparent concealment from the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch. That's the recognition that ultimately there's Chachma and Bina and there's Keser. There's two categories. It's not really three. Chachma and Bina, Abba the Ima, are train Ray and Dulemis Parshan. They could be identified as one point of orientation where there's concealment, and Keser is going to be the revelation that everything is unified. And in truth, ultimately, what we're coming to be revealing is that all of those are really only one, which is the secret of Einu and Mavada, the secret of Keser, which is Koilel, Aniva Ayin Bavasachas, which is why Keser is the Gematria 620, which is Chachma, Bina, and Das. It contains all three prats within it, and Be'ezras Hashem, we will be zocha to try and transform our daily experiences to a Torah of Chaim, to learn how to deal through sugyos in emotions, in different realities, and we'll see how far we'll go in terms of trying to uncover this process, Be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.